In our last study, we saw how God made certain promises to his people concerning a good land and good conditions of life if they would obey him. But we went on to see how those people persistently disobeyed until at last they were taken out of their land into captivity and scattered. This time we should turn to some of the prophets of the Old Testament, but we must remember that they lived during the time that we have covered in our last talk. In a sense, we're going back in time in order to look ahead to future events. So will you turn with me to the prophecy of Hosea? That's a little way back from Matthew, but it's near the end of the Old Testament. The prophecy of Hosea. This man had a message from the Lord telling him to do some very strange things, as his own life was to be a picture of the prophecy he was about to give to his people. Shall we look then at Hosea 1, verse 2? Chapter 1, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. This woman was not necessarily bad in the usual sense of whoredom. Unfaithfulness to the Lord, or idolatry, is sometimes called whoredom, and it may be the case here because the verse speaks of the land committing great whoredom departing from the Lord. Assuming that's so, this woman was not an unfaithful, immoral woman, but an idolatress, unfaithful to the Lord. Even so, it seems strange that the Lord should tell his prophet Hosea to marry an idolatress. We saw in our last study that the Israelites were told not to do such things, because of the possibility of being led away from the Lord. But we said earlier that this man's life was a picture of the prophecy he was giving to the people. They had been very unfaithful to the Lord and had worshipped idols. Well, Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she had a son, and the prophet was told to call their son Jezreel. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. These last few words show us that Hosea's prophecy took place before the Babylonian captivity, and indeed verse 1 says, The word of the Lord came unto Hosea the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. He spoke of the coming end of the kingdom of the house of Israel. His son's name, Jezreel, has two meanings, to scatter and to sow. Well now, we have already seen that the Israelites were removed from their land and scattered. In fact, James in his epistle, written many years later, calls them the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. They've been well and truly scattered all over the world. But what about the other meaning of Jezreel, to sow? Well, just as surely as they have been scattered, they will also be replaced in their land like seed being sown. In their own land. So, Jezreel, they shall be scattered, and they shall be sown. The next child born to the prophet and his wife was a daughter. Verse 6. And God said unto him, Call her name Lo-ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but will utterly take them away. Lo-ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy. Lo-ruhamah means not having obtained mercy. And that was the position of the Israelites. They no longer obtained mercy from the Lord because of their constant disobedience and rejection of him. The next child born to this couple was a son. And again, God gave the name to the child. Verse 9. Then said God, Call his name Lo-ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Do you remember how we saw before that these people were God's chosen people, separated by him and for him and his service? But they despised their honored position so much that instead of being God's chosen people, he said, Ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Lo-ami means not my people. So these children were named Jezreel, to scatter, Lo-ruhamah, not having obtained mercy, and Lo-ami, not my people. How typical they were of the position the Israelites were to be in before long. But let's read on. Verse 10. Hosea 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. You remember we said that Jezreel had two meanings, to scatter and to sow. The scattering took place, but now we're talking of the sowing. Great shall be the day of Jezreel, when they are sown instead of scattered. And reading straight on, for remember, there are no chapter divisions in the original. Hosea didn't put chapter divisions in, so we read straight on. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Now we said that Lo-ruhamah meant not having obtained mercy, and Lo-ami meant not my people. Lo, L-O, is the negative, not. So if you take that off the front of the word Lo-ruhamah, instead of meaning not having obtained mercy, it means having obtained mercy. And instead of Lo-ami, not my people, it's Ami, my people. You see, in taking away lo, L-O, you take away the negative. So, great shall be the day of Jezreel, to sow, and say ye to your brethren, Ami, my people, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, having obtained mercy. So all the terrible things that have happened to the Israelites, all the bad things that have been said about them are to be reversed. Will you look with me then at chapter 2, verse 21? Chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. The prophet was told to marry a woman who was not all that she might have been. And as we said, there's some question as to what that really meant. It may have been just that she was an idolatress, and therefore unfaithful to God. Now turning to chapter 3, we find the Lord said to Hosea, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. That word may again mean an idolatress. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods. And verse 3, And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Just as Hosea's wife had been unfaithful, so had the Israelites been unfaithful to the Lord. They had looked to other gods, as verse 1 says. They were as wrong as a married woman with her eye on some other man. The way in which this woman was to live, just abiding many days, was typical of the coming condition of the Israelites. In fact, it's typical of their condition at the present moment. Verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. They've been without a king ever since the time of their captivity. Their scattering ensures that they have no king or prince to reign over them. Equally, they have no sacrifice. They are unable to make the many animal sacrifices they used to have. But although they are not pleasing the Lord, as they should, they are nevertheless not idolaters. They have no image, as the verse says. The ephod, by the way, was an important part of the high priest's apparel, and teraphim were to do with idol worship. So you have the position of the Israelites today, portrayed for you in this verse. No king, no prince, no sacrifice, and yet no idols either. The last verse of this chapter has a happy afterward. Verse 5. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. They will at last return and seek the Lord their God. We haven't seen that happen yet, have we? No, it's still future. But they will seek him. They'll repent one day of all the wrong that they have done. Then they'll receive the blessings promised to them. They'll be restored to their position as God's chosen people. In chapter 6, Hosea tells us prophetically what Israel will say in a still future day. Chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Joel, the next prophecy you come to in your Bible, takes another aspect of the resurrection. So will you turn with me to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. After saying that his message is the word of the Lord that came to Joel, he first of all says, "Hear this," verse 2, and then "Tell ye," verse 3. It was a message to be heard and passed on. "Tell ye," verse 3, and this is the message, verse 4. "That which the palmer worm hath eaten, hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten." That seems a strange message to pass on at first, but let's read on, verse 6. "For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white." This is no ordinary lion, is it? But a nation likened to a lion, which has laid waste and spoiled. On a number of occasions, Israel's enemies are likened to various creatures because it was not always possible or wise for the Israelites to say who they really meant. To use the name of their captors and oppressors would have been dangerous. Looking back to verse 4, we find the same thing there. Palmer worm, locust, cankerworm, caterpillar. Each one eating up what the previous one left. Turning over to chapter 2, we find the reverse. Verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 25. "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." I will restore. Yes, this is restoration indeed. Do you remember back in Deuteronomy 28 how those people were promised blessings if they did as the Lord said? They were told, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." We often speak of Israel's blessings as blessings in basket and in store. Such things are not promised to us. Earthly blessings belong to Israel. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ are promised to us Gentile believers, but that's something we must leave for the moment. Turning back to Joel, though, we have seen how these blessings in basket and in store were taken away because of Israel's disobedience. And we also saw how those same blessings will be restored to them in a yet future day. But Joel has other things to tell us. Chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. What great events were going to take place. Now, if you happen to be using a companion Bible, you'll see that some of those verses that we've just read are printed in heavy type. That's because they are quoted in the New Testament. Now, you already know that the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the Messiah, the King of the Jews, but they rejected him. When he was on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The proof that he did forgive them was the fact that he gave them another chance. That's why Peter and the other apostles mentioned early in the Acts of the Apostles were sent specially to the Jews. In the first chapter of the Acts, we're told about the time which the disciples had with the Lord after his death and resurrection. Verse 3 says, Acts chapter 1. Acts, as you probably know, comes just after the Gospels. Acts chapter 1. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was seen of them 40 days, and talked to them about the things which concerned the kingdom of God. They were told to wait in Jerusalem for the keeping of a promise, the gift of special powers to help them in their future work for the Lord. And then verse 6 says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, was there, so what about the kingdom? It was a natural question to ask. They knew the promises which we've read concerning restoration. They knew that glorious time would come sometime when they as a nation would own all the land promised to them, when they would have all their blessings restored to them. So they asked their king, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Our Lord's answer was neither yes or no. He said, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The answer depended on Israel's acceptance or further rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they accepted him, the answer was yes. If they rejected him, the answer was no. So to the apostles, the Lord as good as said, wait and see. They must do their part as witnesses for the Lord and leave the rest with him. It's the same today. We should do our part as witnesses, saying that we know what it means to have him as our Saviour, and leave the results of our witnessing with him. Those to whom we witness may or may not want to listen. In Acts 3, Peter, addressing ye men of Israel, spoke to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they'd killed, and whom God had raised again from the dead. And he said, verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Verse 21 speaks of the restitution of all things, the re-establishment as promised to them. The last verse of the chapter explains how. Verse 26. And to you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Their blessing would come when they turned every one from his iniquities. But again they refused. For verse 2 of the next chapter, and remember again, there are no chapter divisions in the original. So, verse 1 says, And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Yes, they rejected the message again. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ again. So you know the answer to the apostles' question, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Because the answer was no, it doesn't mean that restoration will never come. It will come. God has promised it. So, let us go on. Will you turn with me to Zechariah? That's back near Hosea and Joel again. The prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah 8, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Do you remember what we found in Hosea? Jezreel, to scatter or to sow, and lo army, not my people, and then later army, my people. So Zechariah has a similar message, that the Lord will bring them back to their land, and he says, They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Do these verses remind you of some we read earlier, too, about blessings? Blessings in basket and in store. Look at verse 12 of Zechariah 8. Verse 12. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. These people and their blessed condition will be a witness to others round about. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Again, will you turn to chapter 10, verse 6, remembering once again the prophecy of Hosea. Lo, Ruhamah not having obtained mercy, and later Ruhamah having obtained mercy. So here it is in Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah 10, verse 6. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. They shall be as though I had not cast them off. Isn't that going to be wonderful? There are some verses in chapters 12 and 14 that we shall have to look at, but for the moment we're keeping to this subject of restoration for this time. So we'll look at those two chapters later. We've looked up to now at the promises made to Israel, their failings and the consequent loss of their blessings, and postponement of the promises. We've also looked at the promises made concerning their restoration, and that's still future. I'm wondering, though, whether any of you are beginning to wonder and ask, where do we come in? How does all this affect the days in which we are living? But they are questions which we must save up until next time. So, once again, bye-bye, and God bless you.